daily faith. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27, we have this classic verse that comes to mind when we think of the Lord's Supper, may come to mind, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And we find that in the first century, in one of Paul's missionary journeys, Scripture says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And they had what we might call a church service, a worship service together. Worship on Sundays is a big part of our life as a Christian, and it's something that happens every Sunday. And we see that in the first century, we see that not only did Christians meet on this Sunday, but when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, we notice Paul talks about offerings or contribution, but he talks about it in a way that they're meeting each Sunday. He says, on the first day of each week, set aside a sum of money. We find in Revelation 1:10, Scripture says, on the Lord's day, I was caught up in the Spirit. This is John. And so we see that by that time, Sunday was not only the first day of the week, it was not only a day they came together to worship, but they referred to it, some did, as the Lord's day. It is a special day. It's a day we look forward to as Christians each week to come together like this. But my question is, do you ever find it easy during the week to become too much like the world? Do you ever find that on Sundays we come and we come close to God, but it's easy on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday to drift more to becoming worldly? And that we become too focused on the here and now. Do you ever get caught up in the rat race? Do you ever get distracted by trials or struggles? Or the opposite, joys and pursuits? Do we get distracted? Does anyone find it easy to put God first this day, but a little more difficult on Monday or Thursday or Saturday? And so we're going to notice as we look, we're going to take a journey through the book of Acts this morning and just notice what the early Christians did. And we will see that they were not content for their faith to be lived out just one day a week. But we will see that their faith was active daily. And to begin with, we will see that they met daily. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2:42. So this is very early in the church. Christianity has just began, and we see that they're meeting daily. Verse 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. If we look down in verse 46, we see it says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, Jews wouldn't typically meet in the temple courts every day as Christians were here, but also notice they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And we see that God was adding to their number daily. I want to share a quote from IVP commentary that says most special groups in antiquity ate together. And this is talking about mystery cults, Pharisaic fellowships, burial associations. These are groups we're not familiar with, but they were organizations in that society at that time, not Christian. But they would meet, the fact is Greek associations met for communal meals, but only once a month. And those things really stood in contrast to the Christians who were meeting not once a month. They weren't even just meeting once a week, but they were in each other's lives and together every day. Isn't it encouraging during the week to be somehow together with another part of this family? When we have Monday night, I can't say that in its plural form. You figure that out and make it sound really good and I'll start doing that. But Monday night for the master, when we have those, isn't it great to not just, we don't just go from Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Wednesday, but the very next day we get to see each other. And this past week, we had a Monday night for the master, and that night I was around, some of the guys in the service group, and Richard Barrett and I were around. I was around him probably more than anyone that night. On Wednesday during the day, Rick calls me, and we had, when Rick calls, usually we talk about just some nonsensical guy things, but then we almost always get into some kingdom things. And I get strength from talking to him. I get more focused. And then Wednesday night, we were together, and I was around different ones, around Matt and Ian, more so some of the things that we were doing. Friday, I was around Tom, some Joe Richardson, and being, you know, and Saturday around some other men. And so, you know, though, that experience, of, it's not just Sunday to Sunday that we see each other, but when you're able to see each other and be around each other during the week, we gain strength from that, don't we? It's the value of Wednesday night class. Wednesday night, we don't just come to learn, but we come because of the fellowship before. We come because of the fellowship after. We come because we find out who's really needing prayers in a special way. We come and we hear of answered prayers. That fellowship is so vital. You know, I want you to know there are different, or just bring to your mind that there are different groups doing things as a part of this church or from this church during the week. There are a couple ladies. We have a couple ladies in our congregation who've been visiting. They'll go out and make visits on their own. They've been doing it for years. One night a week, I think Tuesday nights. We have a couple different groups of ladies right now that meet for Bible study. That's just what I know of. We have a men's group. We have a group of ladies that go to breakfast, I think, once a week. I don't track. I mean, I'm not aware of all these things, but I just see them. And we need to be mindful that Christianity is not just about here on Sunday, but it's about being connected to each other during the week. Some of our goals for this year, Forward in 14, goal number 6 is that we would create 4 new small groups. We've created 2 on the personal side, the personal opportunities. One of those is to join a small group. And right now we have 8 small groups. And that's the most we've ever had. I believe when we started small groups, we had 4. We have 8. Some of those are relatively small. Some of those are of a size where they may not survive. And this month we want to bring a special focus to small groups. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, try one. Try another one. We have 2 small groups that meet at lunch if you live some distance away. And so we have information at the Welcome Center about our small groups. But this is a way for, and I realize it's also on Sunday, so I understand that. But it's another way of meeting the need of being connected in each other's lives at different times in different ways. It's one of our goals this year to average 60 for Monday Night for the Master. Right now, this year, our average technically is 59.4, which you know the preacher rounds that up. So we're averaging 60 for Monday Night for the Master right now. Okay? There's a reason for that. It's daily. It's being in each other's lives and being together like the early church was. Let me ask this question. If you happen to find yourself being around your spiritual family more than your earthly family, what does that feel like? Maybe there's been a moment in your lifetime when you just, and I don't mean the earthly family that you live with in your home. I mean earthly family that you enjoy getting together with. But is it true that we are around this family more than our earthly family? If that's true, what does that mean? If it's not true, what does it mean? Isn't it interesting? I'll be honest with you. I feel more, in some ways, here toward my earthly family, because those bonds on a human level are incredibly strong. But I feel here, and I know my spiritual family is for eternity. And when we get to eternity, this will be a blink. Which family is more important? If you ever find yourself saying no to your earthly family because you said yes to your spiritual family, don't feel guilty for that. I'm not saying don't be loving and kind. I'm not saying turn your back on your earthly family. At the foot of the cross was Jesus' mother, and he was concerned for her. But this family lasts for eternity. And it's why we live out our faith by being connected to each other daily. We see the early Christians in Acts. Look at Acts 17. We see that they were in their Bible daily. They were studying the Scriptures daily. And we have this reference to the Bereans here, this situation. The Bereans were more noble character than the Thessalonians. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day. They didn't just go look and see if it was true, but they did it every day to see if it was true. We've been starting family devotionals at our house. And you'll notice in the bulletin is a built-in family devotional ready to go. It may not work perfectly for your family, but it definitely will meet the need for you to get together and have a discussion together. And we did one of those recently, and it was interesting to me. When you hear your young child pray, there's something really special about that. When you hear, I don't remember hearing in recent memory one of my daughters read the Bible out loud. That may be an interesting thought. That may be you can do with that whatever you want. I mean, I know that we're in Bible class and we talk about the Bible, but hearing them read Scripture from that voice, it's a special thing. Scripture is not something that God intended to be in our lives week to week, but He intended it to be daily. Stephanie and I want to just, some of you may not know her very well. She is, people's personalities are different, and statistically, women talk quite a bit more than men do, just words during the day. And my wife's a talker, and I'm not. And my middle daughter, Sydney, she's like me. She's not a talker. Now, she will, but I'm just overall. Sometimes, her and I will go somewhere. I mean, it could be a 20-minute trip, and we may not say one word. Now, if you're talkers, I'm sure you think that's just wasted, you know, shame on you as a dad and all that. But you non-talkers understand. I mean, that's okay. It's not a problem. Once in a while, Stephanie and I will both get in the mood to talk, which basically it's when I'm in the mood, because she's almost always in the mood. Once in a while, the planets will line up and I'm in a talky mood, talky, talky, talky. And when I'm trying to talky-talky and she's talky-talky, there's not enough space. And it gets it's not easy. It doesn't really work well. Think about your relationship with God. How do we talk to God? Well, that's an easy one. When we pray. I pray to God, not daily, but I pray probably hourly. And that's not a pat on my back, because my hourly prayers are, God, help me with this. Help, you know, I'm weak, and I know that more now than I'm probably stronger in many ways, but I understand really how weak I am. Okay, I talk to God a lot. I'm talky-talky with Him. How does God talk to us? Let me ask this question. Is God a talker? How does God talk to us? He talks to us through the Bible. If I'm talky, 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 am I allowing God His words? It's an interesting thought. I hope it clicks. Like it recently, it clicked in my mind. It's an amazing thought. He wants to talk to me and you every day. He doesn't just want us to come and visit with Him. When I say visit, for Him to talk, you see, it's enjoyable to listen to someone, but it's enjoyable to talk to someone too. He doesn't want to just talk with me once a week, or Sunday and Wednesday, or just when we're here. I love talking to God. Do I love listening to God? If I only had access to God, the amount of time that I allowed Him access to me through being in the Word, how much talk time would I have with God? One way to live out our faith daily is to be in God's Word daily. The early Christians, we see they cared for one another daily. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, this is that situation where they had widows that were being overlooked. They had a number of disciples. The number of the disciples was increasing. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. It's really interesting. In the first century, there was this kind of belief or understanding that it was more virtuous to die in Israel, within their borders or within their land. Even though there were Jews, remember when Paul went on his missionary journeys in Gentile areas, there were Jews in those places. So there were Jews all over the world. But it was more virtuous for them to die and be buried in Israel. So when Jews who lived elsewhere would get older, you know, retirement, even closer to passing from this life, they would move back and retire, so to speak. They would move back, preparing to die in Israel. And as you would understand, oftentimes the man would die before his wife would. You had all these wives who were Jewish, but they weren't native Jews. You know, they weren't hometown Jews. Okay, they were the Grecian Jews. In other words, you had a disproportionate amount of Grecian Jewish widows because they had all moved in for the purpose of being able to die and be buried here. And it was an issue. But the thing for us to notice is they didn't take care of them once a week. They took care of them daily. And as Christians, that's our daily faith, is by taking care of each other daily. When we have members in the hospital, we don't just wait till Sunday afternoon and go see them. We have different ones who are seeing them on their own, receiving visits as those things happen daily during the week. We have members who need to go to dialysis, and other members are able to take them. We have Monday Night for the Master. A lot of that is service-oriented, and that takes place during the week. We have, and one of the, on the personal opportunity list, this is one that may get overlooked. It's number 10, and the opportunity on number 10 is to make 14 calls or contacts to encourage others. Calls or contacts to encourage someone. And those happen on a Thursday, and those happen on a Monday, and some of you have done that and seen the amazing power that it is for you to make a phone call or send a card to someone and say, I'm thinking about you, I'm lifting you up in prayer. Those things are extremely powerful. Remember in Matthew 25, when Jesus describes the day that we'll enter into heaven, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. Why? Matthew 25. Jesus said, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Christianity is about daily taking care of others. Jesus describes pure and undefiled religion as caring for orphans and widows. Daily faith. Caring for others daily. We also see that in the first century that Christians were sharing their faith daily. We look in Acts chapter 5 verse 40. This is an interesting situation. It's not long after Jesus has died, been buried, went back to heaven. The church is early in its history. And the apostles, the Jews were trying to get the apostles to stop teaching about Jesus. And they flogged them, which was a brutal beating that would tear the skin and be extremely painful and torturous. And they did that to the apostles. Then they ordered them to stop speaking about Jesus. Well, verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering. And then verse 42, day after day, in the temple courts, house to house, they never stopped teaching. It's interesting to me that we struggle to start teaching. We struggle to start talking about God. We struggle to start spreading the gospel. We struggle to start to make some comment to my neighbor about God. And they, in the first century, they couldn't stop. Sharing our faith is a daily thing. We see in Acts chapter 17 that Paul was reasoning in the synagogue. He did that day by day with who? Those who happened to be there. Who do we happen to be around? Who will you happen to see tomorrow that needs God in their life? That there's some way, some comment, something you can do for them. You ever had someone tell you about a struggle in their life? A coworker tell you? You ask them, well, how was your weekend? Well, it's fine. You know, my mom's in the hospital, or this is going on. My son, worried about my son. Have you ever, you know what's a great opportunity in those situations with someone you happen to be with? The opportunity is, I'll pray for you. Maybe a step further, my church has a prayer chain or prayer group that loves to pray for people. I'll add that to our prayer list. Acts 16:5, the church was growing daily in numbers. We have opportunities in some ways, maybe we think about, maybe we don't. Social media is an opportunity. I talked about Facebook a few weeks back. You know, on Facebook, if I'm going to put on Facebook, I'm tired, going to bed. You know, that's my status update. Now, Facebook's for whatever you want it to be. It's your page. And if you want to put only significant things on there, or if you want to put on there, I'm bored, pouty face. You know what I mean? It's your deal. Do what you want. But if I can do that, maybe on a Wednesday I could update my status with, you know, work day's finished, looking forward to church tonight. I know it's not church. I know we're the church. Looking forward to church tonight. And if you do that, I'm just saying use things for God's glory and spreading God's word in the kingdom. I would bet if you do that periodically, don't be surprised when the day comes that one of your friends messages you and says, where do you go to church? I've been looking for a good church. Do we share our faith? I mean, do we just come here and share it with each other? Or do we not have daily opportunities with people that we are around to share it? Our goals reflect this. We have a goal to increase the number here, and that's going to happen if we share our faith and invite people. We have goals to bring 14 or more to Christ this year. We're well on our way with that, but that we want to go beyond that. We have goals to increase our involvement with mission efforts. And I want to point out that our mission efforts in this church family is one of the strongest areas that we have. And a large part of that credit goes to our deacon Greg Foster for his great work in our mission work. But we don't just do mission work or have connections or relations with that just on Sundays. On Monday nights, when we meet for Monday Night for the Master, it's not uncommon for us, for the card group, to send cards to our missionaries. Now, what do you think that's like for a missionary to receive a card in a way that they're not real closely connected with other Christians? They are in the mission field and they receive a card from a member here who says, keep up the good work. We're praying for you. I ate at a restaurant last night, one of my absolute favorites. China Stars probably still holds number one on my list, and I know that tells you something about me and my standards. But I love Chinese food, and I've never found a bad buffet, but I love their Chinese buffet at our local China Star. I'd wear a t-shirt if they sold them, but they don't have any. But another one that's coming close, it's really rivaling that restaurant for me, and me and Liz and Sydney ate there last night, and the name of the restaurant is Fat Guys. Okay? Now, and I'm not promoting, you know, gluttony, because I wasn't gluttonous yesterday. I ate a small snack and nothing else. And then we went to Fat Guys. Okay? And so my calories were, you know, fine. Hamburgers is about, they do hamburgers and french fries. But it will change your life. And I love it. And I don't have any problem telling anybody about it. If I can be excited to tell people about that, can I not be excited to share my faith daily? Whether it's Facebook or talking to someone that I'm around or working with or anywhere, anyway. You do it in your way. But our faith is not something we do Sunday to Sunday. If Christians will live out their faith daily, we'll change this world. And we'll change this town. If people see real Christians being a real Christian on a Monday, on a Thursday, on a Saturday. Let's pray together and we'll close. God, we bow before you. We thank you for your Son, for your love, for your grace and your mercy and our salvation. We thank you for being our Father that hears us anytime we turn to you. We pray you forgive us for the ways and times that we become too absorbed and focused on this life and things of this life, and that we don't remember you and really shine every day like we need to. And we pray that you help us in different ways, that our faith would be strong, that we would know that what we do for you on Thursday is as important as what we do for you on these days, the Lord's days. We pray for this, that you would strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And there may be something heavy on your heart or something you need. Maybe someone this morning is ready to have their sins washed away. If there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior.